Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the bridegroom of the church who shall come on that last day, unawares, unknowingly, to take his church, all believers, with him forever to heaven, dear fellow redeemed. It's still Tuesday, the Tuesday before Jesus' crucifixion. We heard 2 weeks ago in our sermon text that Jesus began that day by being attacked by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They challenged his authority. But Jesus rebuked them by speaking to them in parables and then telling them that they are unfit to be called leaders, spiritual leaders of the people, because they didn't understand the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah that they applied to him, to Jesus. And so during that Tuesday of Holy Week, Jesus turned his attention to the people and spoke to them most of the day concerning the coming judgment and prophesied again about his imminent death. Much of what Jesus said on that Tuesday was concerning the end times. What he said to the people were words of condemnation and warning to the unbelievers, but words of encouragement, admonition and comfort to the believers. And so it is with our sermon text this morning, the parable of the 10 virgins. Jesus wants you and me to be prepared for our futures. Not just our future in this coming new year, or our future as adults, or our future in our retirement years, but our eternal future. God wants us to be prepared for that eternal future that we all will be facing someday on that last great day of judgment. And that's why we've chosen as our theme this morning, "Let us make sure that we are prepared for the Lord's return." And our first point is very, very important. Many who think they're prepared are not. Listen back to our Old Testament reading this morning from Amos. The Lord there is asking the Israelites a question. He said, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, for what good is the day of the Lord to you?" Many of the Israelites were looking forward to the day of the Lord, the day of Christ the Messiah's coming. But the Lord said to them, it is not going to be brightness, it's going to be darkness and light. Why? Because the Lord was not pleased with them. He was not pleased with their hearts. Again, we read from Amos, I despise your feast days, and do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments, but let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. God wanted his people in Amos's day to examine their hearts and their motives, as well as their actions, to see that they were not acceptable to God. They were simply going through the motions. They weren't ready for his coming. They were making a lot of noise with their lips and their mouths and their hymns and their songs, but their hearts weren't in it. They were giving offerings from their purses and their pockets to the Lord, but it wasn't willingly, from thankful, repentant hearts of faith. Their worship was not repentance and not acknowledging the Lord Messiah to come and give them righteousness. They thought they had a righteousness of their own by going through these motions, and therefore their works were not acceptable to God because they were not prompted by repentant faith. What a terrifying thing it would be if this morning we gather together at church here and say, the Lord speaks to you and me, and he says these words: your songs and your hymns are nothing but noise in my ears. Because your hearts are far from me, I'll do away with your songs and hymns. No more praise God from whom all blessings flow. No more mighty fortress is our God. No more blessed Jesus at thy word we are gathered all to hear you. I reject your singing. I reject the instruments you play to accompany your songs. I won't listen to your prayers. They'll not ascend to me as a sweet smelling aroma because they're not coming from your heart. I'll not answer them. You may as well do away with your feasts of Thanksgiving and Christmas and Good Friday and Easter and Pentecost because you're simply going through the motions. They're simply symbols to you. They don't mean anything to you anymore. I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. And as far as your offerings, keep them in your wallets. Keep them in your bank accounts because they're not being given from willing, thankful, repentant hearts. You're just doing it to show or out of habit. What terrifying words that would be. Could it happen? Yeah, it could. If we're just going through the motions of worship and singing and praying and offerings. It did to the people of Amos's day. In our sermon text this morning, Jesus is telling us about a normal wedding procession. The bridegroom would prepare himself at his home or the home of his parents and gather together with his young men who would gather together, and they would proceed from his house to the bride's house, where she would be preparing herself with her bridesmaids, virgins, young and married women, waiting for them. As they got to the vicinity of the bride's house, these young women, these virgins, would go and meet the procession. Together, then they would all come to the bride's house, pick up the bride, go to the wedding place, and then go to the assembly where they would celebrate for a week-long ceremony of the wedding. Unlike most weddings in our day, weddings in Jesus' day most often took place at night. And so these 10 young ladies, these 10 virgins, got their lamps ready to go out and to meet the bridegroom. Jesus tells us there were 10 of them. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. They all brought lamps, but 5 brought some extra oil, maybe in jars. The other 5 just brought the lamps that they had with the oil in them. The lamp Jesus is speaking about, it's like a saucer with a handle on one side, a spout on the other, and in there is a wick that goes into the saucer, and it's filled with oil, and the oil is sucked up by the wick, and you light the flame, and as long as there is oil in the wick continues to burn and flame. Well, in this particular wedding that Jesus is talking about, the groom tarried. We're told the young ladies got tired, and they all fell asleep. And suddenly there's a cry. The bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And the wise virgins trimmed their lamps by adding more oil to it, and it burned brightly. The foolish virgins were running out of oil, and their lamps were going out because they didn't bring any oil with them. And they asked the other ones, please share with us. And they were told, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. As we read in our sermon text, while they were gone, the bridegroom came with his procession, picked up the bride and her bridesmaids, and they all went to the wedding and to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Sometime later, foolish virgins came, knocked on the door, and said, "Let us in." The bridegroom came and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." And the door remained shut, and they never got in. The bridegroom in this parable, of course, is Jesus. And Jesus is going to come on Judgment Day to take his bride, the church of all believers, to be with him in heaven. In this parable, the 10 virgins are pictures of all professing Christians on this earth, people who belong to a visible Christian church, who profess to believe in Jesus and are waiting for his return. But he doesn't seem to be coming. It's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus said in Revelation, "I am coming quickly." 2,000 years since he said, "I will come again and promise I'll take you from this veil of tears, remove you from all the evil and violence and misery and sorrow and sickness and disasters and immorality and sin and death." As the time goes by, many who look for Christ become spiritually drowsy and fall asleep. In fact, our text says, "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." The five foolish virgins thought they were prepared, but they weren't. So who are they a picture of? They're a picture of those who professed Christ at one time. Their lamps were burning. They had faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But as time went on, their faith began to flicker, dim, and go out. Perhaps they're the ones who, like the seed that fell on the rock, sprang up, that when afflictions came and trials and troubles, their roots didn't sink deep into the Word of God, and it withered. Perhaps are the seeds that grew up with the thorns, the cares, the pleasures, the concerns of life, and it choked it out, and their faith died. Perhaps they were lukewarm Christians, you know, those C&E Christians, Christmas and Easter attenders only, and their heart then grows dim, their faith dies because they don't have a consistent hearing of the Word of God. They surely were not Christians that had the Word of God in their hearts. They did not keep themselves vigilant and awake and watchful by coming to the Lord's Supper, reading the Bible at home, having the gospel message, the means of grace in their hearts, consistently, continually, daily in their hearts. Unknown to them, their lamp of faith was going up because the oil of God's Word was not replenishing it and setting it aflame. And so when the bridegroom comes on Judgment Day, then it's too late. We can't ask our wife or our husband, "Share with me your faith," or our friends or neighbors or either each other as members. We can't then go to the pastors and church and say, "Now I want to hear about Jesus so I can now believe in him." It'll be too late then. Jesus says, our Lord says, "Now is the time. Now is the accepted time. But Lord, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow, next week, next year, it may be too late." So the question we need to ask ourselves is, will you be prepared? And that's our second point this morning. For we can be sure we are prepared by remaining in the Word. Notice that those five wise virgins also fell asleep. The bridegroom's arrival caught them unawares and unexpectedly, but not unprepared. There are pictures of the believers in Christ who not only profess faith in Christ, but have saving faith in Jesus and keep that faith alive by consistently, continually reading and hearing and studying God's Word, partaking of the Lord's Supper, having that means of grace in their heart, consistently and continually turning to God's Word and having that gospel message keep that flame of faith alive in their hearts so that when Christ does come unexpectedly and unawares, they'll be prepared with repentant hearts of faith in Jesus. They are also the ones who knew that they were too weak to do this themselves, too weak to be clinging to Christ. They needed Christ to cling to them, and Christ clings to us only through his word. And that leads us to our third point. We need to keep watching so that that day will be one of great joy and happiness and not terrifying grief. What a blessing judgment day will be. It'll be by far, not even close, the greatest day of your life. The greatest day of my life. When the trumpet sounds and Christ appears and our bodies will be changed, no longer will we have the ills and sorrows of life. We'll be perfect, just like Christ, immortal, just like Jesus. All of his angels will be there. He'll usher us into his heavenly home, declaring to us, "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you." Now, if that is going to be coming, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to be watchful. Peter says, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, hearing the word, keeping in the word, you will never fall, and you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." What a comfort to be known as children of God. Isaiah says, "Fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine." The parable of the sheep and the goats, we mentioned Jesus says, he will say, "Come, blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." But unfortunately, just knowing that Jesus is coming again, just knowing that Jesus will return, is not enough. That doesn't prepare any of us. We're prepared when we have a repentant heart of our sins and trust in that Jesus who's going to come again. The bridegroom Jesus is coming. That he hasn't come yet means he gives us more time to be watchful and prepare ourselves. So let me ask you, how often during the day do you think about Christ's return? How eager are you for Jesus' return, for Judgment Day to come? Do we daily watch for it? Are we prepared with a repentant heart of faith and trust in the Lord, in Christ alone? How caring have you been of your spiritual well-being, or more of your physical well-being, like exercising and running and lifting weights and doing those things? Have you been doing the same thing for your spiritual well-being, exercising your heart and your soul with daily devotions, Bible readings, consistently coming to hear the Word of God, partaking of the Lord's Supper? Preparing ourselves spiritually is far more important than preparing ourselves physically. If I prepare myself physically, I might live maybe a few days longer, a few years longer, but preparing myself spiritually, I'll live forever. Through Paul, the Lord says that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Lord has made all of you who believe in Jesus wise followers of him, putting our entire hope for salvation, forgiveness, life in Jesus Christ, in his merits, his earned forgiveness for all of us. May we not, as the days and weeks and months and possibly years continue till Christ comes, not fall asleep and become foolish virgins and unprepared, but instead daily trim our lamps through repentance and the hearing of the Word of God, keeping our hearts and minds centered upon Christ crucified and risen again, and his word, watching for his return. I mentioned it earlier. In Revelation 22, Jesus said, "Behold, look, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps, guards, watches, preserves these words of the prophecy of this book." With this endless supply of God's word to use, we will every day be ready. Today, tomorrow, and every day for his return. And daily we'll be praying, "Come, Lord Jesus, quickly come." O Christ, who died and yet dost live, to me impart your merit, my pardon seal, my sins forgive, and cleanse me by your Spirit. Beneath your cross I view the day when heaven and earth shall pass away, and thus prepare to meet you. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our returning Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.